Hey, welcome to the Parenting Next Gen show. Don't like to call it a podcast because I don't want to just be in a box, right? It's a show where parents come and learn information on how they can connect better with their teens, just learn some parenting tips, or just downright talk about some ins and outs about parenting, right?
Tell me about this box. What do you mean a box?
Well, you know, the box is, you know, everything is podcast now. You know, everything is all the pod this, the podcast that. And look, this is a show.
Yeah.
This is a show. We'll come to you guys with weekly episodes around topics that might be beneficial to you, might be informative to you, might be a little difference of opinion to you, because everybody parents differently, you know?
And it's so personal. It's like, we all need help with parenting, but say something about my parenting and suddenly we have a problem.
We do have a problem, right? And that is, you know, we've had those conversations before where you're like, oh, what do you mean I'm not a good parent? Or what do you mean I didn't, you know? So again, you know, not to, you know, offend anybody here, but again, might have a difference of opinion.
Right.
Everybody looks at parenting different. There's no right or wrong way to, well, I'm not going to say that. There is a wrong way to parent.
Yeah.
There's definitely a wrong way to parent. Right. But again, just kind of looking at parenting and, you know, from a totality standpoint, hey, how do you parent and how can you parent better?
Well, and every household is very different. The dynamic's very different. The child is very different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have two children growing up in the same dynamic. And what's going to happen? They're all very different. Like, what works with one doesn't work with the other.
I agree.
So, but I'm excited. I've been really excited about doing this for the last couple of days.
Okay. Well, tell people a little bit about yourself, who you are, you know.
Well, for starters, my name's Noed, and well, I'm a mom of two teenagers. They are 14 and 15, and they're the same age for 2 weeks out of the year. Very interesting dynamic. One is spicy, one is mild. When I tell you, they're all very different. They're very different.
So how does that work, right? Because I saw this the other day,
right?
And it was a question that said, when you have multiple children, there always is a favorite.
It's a hot topic in my house.
Remember, they're watching.
It's a hot topic in my house.
Who's your favorite?
I don't have a favorite.
What?
Yeah, I do mess with them and tell them the dog, and that really upsets them. It's a very different dynamic. Okay. Like with my daughter, we can banter. That girl knows how to roast me, and that's how I know. I'm like, oh, you're extending love.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So if you're roasted by this particular child, you know you're in with her. My son is, you know, he's a boy. The son to mom dynamic is very different. I do see I got to protect mom and yada, yada. So it's very different.
Right.
And it also depends on the day, because at least they take turns, but it depends on the day too.
Okay.
It's your favorites.
Okay. All right.
But you know what? You know what I do to calm them down? Because I only have one boy, one girl.
Right.
It's like, you're my favorite daughter. You're my favorite son.
Okay. Still kind of give them their own type of space, you know, kind of separate the two. I can understand that, right? But again, that question always comes up when you have multiple kids. Hey, who's the favorite, right? Me, I got four boys. And, you know, to answer that question truthfully, I'd probably say the youngest is my favorite.
Okay.
And the only reason I say that is because what I didn't do with the first three, now I can do with the fourth one and just make me seem like the perfect parent.
Right.
You know, because I've made all the mistakes.
Well, hold up. Do the other three know?
Listen, they might be looking, but hey, this is not to offend anybody. You know, charge it to my heart, not my head, or my head, not my heart, right. However that goes. Right. But
you know. Is this the first time you've admitted that out loud?
Probably yes.
Okay.
Probably yes.
So
yes.
A lot of confessions going on here.
Hey, for my boys, understand, dad loves you, right? Just doesn't take away from the love or anything. But if I had to choose, if I had to choose, it'll probably be the youngest.
I mean, it makes sense. How old are your boys?
So my oldest is 22. And he's a father himself. So I got grandkids. Then I have an 18-year-old, a 14-year-old, and soon to be 3-year-old.
And that's probably why he's the favorite.
Exactly. Because again, like now I can mold and shape and, you know, make all the changes that I need to. I done went through the mistakes and the hardships and the, you know, I've done all of it.
All that.
You know.
Well, let me ask you this, because this question or this debate comes up a lot amongst at least moms. Okay. Is like, how does it differ raising a kid when you're younger, when you have the energy, you got the stamina, you can keep up with those little ones, versus older where you have the wisdom, but we're tired?
That's a good question. That's a good question, because I will say that I there's many times where I'm tired. Many times, and he's full of energy, you know, always wanting to play, run around, and things like that. But I think in the beginning, when you're younger and you're growing up, parenting, you're learning as you go, per se.
True.
Right? Because I didn't have a blueprint. I didn't really have an example before me. And, you know, I think that is something that's super important as well. Like, one thing that I do now, or I probably would have done in the beginning had I had that frame of mind, like, ask your parents how they were parented. Ask your parents how they were parented. And because, again, those are the examples that you're taking from to parent your own kids. So, you know, for me, I didn't do that early on. I just kind of went with what I knew. Based on, because I just grew up with my mom. Yeah, we're just waiting.
But the question, okay, so let's say had you asked the parents, do you think they really would have told you the truth or would have given you helpful insight? Because I feel like with my parents, back in my day, like, you guys have it easy. Like, it just becomes, instead of helpful insight, it's how hard we had it. And I don't know if it's because, you know, first generation immigrant is like, you know, lucky we're here and the privilege you have that we didn't have. And walk me through that. Like, what do you think?
So, I mean, if I had asked them, I don't know that they would have given me the answer that I was looking for. Because again, maybe they weren't, you know, too familiar with parenting, you know, when they were kind of, cause my mom was fairly young. I think like mid-20s.
Okay.
When she had me, but I had an older brother, so she had already been a parent, you know, years prior.
Yeah.
So again, my grandmother kind of stepped in and helped her out. So again, my example was her raising me and my sister, and just kind of taking from that. Because here's the thing that you know, may be happening in a lot of households now. The child is kind of raising, because the parent is maybe at work, or they got that school part, or they, you know, so the teenager is kind of raised. If they got younger siblings, they're kind of raising.
Listen, but you're hitting home now. I'm the oldest of three.
Listen.
Hey, older children, welcome. That's what we do. It's like, you're older, especially me. There's a huge age gap between, not huge, but I think about 5-6 years between me and the sister next to me. There's three girls in our house. And it was like, you're watching your little sisters.
Yeah.
And it's the pressure of mom and dad got to do things. And at one point, mom and dad decided, forget it. All three of you are coming with us everywhere.
And that was a lot on them. I can only imagine that was a lot on them, because I know when I take my kids out, hey, look, before we get out the car, there's rules and boundaries.
Oh, like, so you do that too?
I got to. Yeah. Got to. Because, hey, look. They will get in a place and, hey, dad, can I get this? Dad, you know what? Dad, we are not going to do that.
Mm-mm. So, by the way, my first language is Spanish. So growing up, we have what we call la cartilla, which means a little letter. Like, before we get out the car.
La cartilla.
Yes.
One more time.
Cartilla. Yes.
Little letter.
Okay. Yes. Got it. So it's, I'm going to read you the rules and regulations and the rules of the social engagement here. And it would always end. Okay. Let me not find out. Let me not catch you. Let me not hear you. And that was some scary times, but.
I can imagine. Cause listen, my mother was a drill sergeant in the Army.
No.
So you can almost imagine how my household was. Very strict, you know, and no nonsense, right? Hey, when I'm not there, lock that door, don't answer for nobody, you know. Do what I told you to do. You better be in the bed by the time I get up. Like, it was just, I felt like I was in the army at 7.
But you got the same speech. My mama used to say the same thing. At one point, she's like, I don't care if it's Jesus himself. He could go through the door if it's really him. I'm like,
God, I can't open it because my mama said no. I
pretty
can't.
much.
I can't open the door, yeah.
Pretty much.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
But listen, I already said my name. You didn't say your name at all.
So, Andre St. George,
Okay.
and I am part two of Parenting Next Gen, right? Because I think with this, a male perspective as well as a female perspective is definitely warranted here. Because let's just be honest, we don't parent the same.
No, it's a different
We
generation.
take a different approach, especially to this generation. And I think, kind of spearheading this, both perspectives will give some, real good concept to what we talk about here in the show and some of the topics that we discuss. And, hopefully it's beneficial to everybody that's listening.
And I think that's the thing too. It's like we're not telling people how to raise their kids. We're just providing information and then insight as to how that applies to us, our dynamic in our own households. And you do what you want in your own household.
Please
That's
do what you want. Because I look,
prayerfully.
the last thing I wanted to happen is somebody see me and say, Andre, you told me to do this with my. No, wasn't me. Wasn't me. Wasn't me.
So that
So,
there goes your disclosure.
hey.
And then also too, it's putting the stuff into practice. And it's not, oh, well, I tried it once and what you guys said doesn't work. This is a long-term commitment. You have to keep
Absolutely.
doing it over and
Implementation is important.
that.
It's very, very important.
So let's tell the people how this came about, because
Yeah,
context.
I mean, here we are. Here we are, this actually started in church. I mean, what better place for the magic to happen under God's roof, right?
There you go.
So we have similar friend group, actually a friend per se, and the introduction was made just kind of due to my work. I'm in social services, and I do a lot of work in the community, different organizations working with kids. I've been doing that for the past 7 years. So I was a person of interest. So guy referred me and said, hey, look, I think you should meet Noed. I said, all right, cool. Well, here she is right here.
Hi.
Oh, right away. Like I thought it was going to be an introduction later on, but it was boom, she's right there. So, we spoke, set up a meeting, sat down and talked, kind of discussed exactly where we were and, what we were kind of doing and where we wanted to align things. And it just made sense. Just made sense for this to come about. So, and then we started with a 9-week class at the church called Reaching Next Gen, really helping parents connect with their teens, communication-wise, and also in a biblical sense,
That's
right?
true.
How to really mesh the word of God into what they're doing in the household and just how they're raising their children. So it was a phenomenal 9-week class, and we got a lot of great feedback. So we figured, hey, look, why not keep that train rolling, bring this information to people that need it, because not everybody is inside those church walls, right?
Not at all. And I think typically in church culture, there's going to be either all Bible or all, or out here in the world, it's going to be all practical tools and no Bible.
Right.
But I think that's what's unique, what you and I have brought to the table. It's let's balance it. Let's talk about practical tips. Let's have the real talk, real conversation, but let's also bring in the word of life. But listen, I have to admit, I resisted this for a hot minute.
Why? Tell why. Why so?
For starters, sometimes God is, first of all, he's the best parent and he knows exactly how to get this child to do what he wants her to do when he wants her to do it. And I started this before I have met you, and I kept being told by our youth pastor, you need a ministry partner. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. But I couldn't find anybody. And by the time I had met you, I thought, I'm moving on to other things. I'm leaving this.
Right.
So this mutual friend brought you up, and I'm like, here we go, God. Fine, I'll do one more round. And
but you had already done this twice, right? You did this class twice by yourself.
I did.
Talk about that for a second.
Well, it started off as a, you know, we're going to cover this book by Tim Elmore called Generation Z Unfiltered. Really good book, by the way. And I'm like, we're just going to cover a book. That's it. And then I did the thing. And then the parents began to talk about issues at the house.
Right.
And issues with their kids. And mind you, it didn't matter the age. They all were like, I'm struggling as a parent. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, snap. This is not just covering a book.
Right.
But then in addition to that, I'm like, okay, this is going to be about the kids.
Right.
But the book is like, no, we're going to do internal work on the parents.
It's always needed.
Yeah. Always and needed. Came back by popular demand, and it came back again. You know, just kind of tag your it the third time around, different book, same, kind of the same vibe as the same guy,
right.
Tim Elmore. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought that was it. I'm like, okay, we're good until the fall. And here we are. We're going to extend it. And it took me a minute. I didn't feel equipped enough to even sit here and talk to people. I don't. So I'm like, you know, who am I to talk? And I think you, I mentioned it to you. And then what did you say?
Because that's going on tour.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
like, let's just do it. Let's just do it.
But when you and I talked about how I'm like, I don't feel like I'm a voice of authority. Like I can even come here and give advice.
Right.
You set me straight in a way.
I tend to do that sometimes. You know, I don't want to be too forceful, but like sometimes we are hidden in our own ability. Somebody need to hear that today. Sometimes we're hidden in our own
Let's
ability.
Get turkey. Repeat that again for the people in the back.
Hey, listen, you know, so I think it just needed a little bit of push and pull to kind of let that come out.
Yeah.
Because again, like, I always look at it like, well, who am I not servicing with this ability that I have? Like, who needs to hear this that... If I don't put it out there, if I don't start the show, if I don't talk about this, who is suffering because of it?
That part.
So.
Yeah, no. God called me out through scripture, but especially Jeremiah chapter 1, where he's like, hey, I've chosen you to be a mouthpiece for me. I've always known that about me.
Feed the sheep.
You got me with that one last week, too.
Feed the sheep.
Yeah, no, I'm like, I know I'm a mouthpiece for you, Lord, but this is not the subject matter I had in mind. And it's probably not the end all be all, but it's like, this is what you're going to talk about in this season. And I'm like, but who am I? He just reminded me through Jeremiah 1 that I put my word in your mouth. And you're going to go and talk about what I'm telling you to talk about. And my grace is sufficient. So.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, who can talk about parenting better than a parent?
Yeah, but it's like, I know, I think you asked me how old my oldest child was. I'm like, she's about to be 16.
Right.
Like 16 years of experience. And yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm the parent now.
Coupled with, how old is your son?
He's 14, about to be 15 this upcoming month.
What's that? 31 years of experience?
Are we combining that?
I mean, why not?
That's crazy.
31 years of experience being a parent.
That's crazy.
That is crazy, right? So again, as an expert, I mean, if I was doing something for 31 years, would people not say, you know what? Hey, she knows what she's talking about.
I guess I'm coming to terms with it little by little, especially when I hear things like, you're doing a good job. And I'm like, what? How? But some days I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not messing them up too bad.
Right.
It's a lot of pressure. But then I think about this. You know who must have had a ton of pressure raising a child? Mary and Joseph. I mean, talk about, I'm entrusting you with my son. You got to raise him.
I mean, like, who? You're raising Jesus.
That's a lot of parental pressure.
You're raising Jesus.
And then they lost him.
Like, how do you, I don't even know where to begin with that. Because Are you raising a Jesus in your home right now? Are you raising a Jesus?
And if you feel like that's too much, think about it. Are you raising a David? Are you raising a Samuel? Who are you raising? Yeah. But
are you raising a Cain?
We have to go there.
Listen, I told you it's going to be a difference of opinion.
Well, listen, not their angels. There's no way possible.
Hey, listen, are you raising an Abel? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yikes. Hey, we're going to talk about it.
All
right. Hey, this is the Parenting Next Gen show, and we're going to talk about it.
No, because seriously, I think every parent, they know the areas of opportunity of their kid, but do you dare admit that out loud? Mm-hmm. So I feel like we're constantly comparing in a way.
How so? What do you mean?
Well, I'm speaking from the Latino culture. You know, like the aunts and the grandmas are calling each other, and then they hear, oh, so-and-so is doing great in school. So-and-so mm-hmm. is doing that. And it almost becomes like a bragging thing. And I think it's no matter how old you are, because I've caught my mom doing that.
Right.
Where it's like, I won't necessarily hear a daughter job well done, but then you're like, oh, my daughter's doing this and she's doing that. And you kind of hear this bragging competition almost.
Is it like when family gets together around, like, okay, like my mom has these things where she invites everybody to the house,
mm-hmm.
you know, brother, sister, you know, aunts, uncles, everybody. And they just all kind of come over.
To family reunion.
And you kind of hear those conversations like, oh, yeah, you know, my son is doing this. Oh, yeah, you know, my daughter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having those conversations about your kids?
Like, am I having them about my kids? No, just because I rather tell them how I feel about them. I don't ever want them to grow up and be like, I never heard my mom's feedback on me. Like, I don't want them to hear from, oh, I heard mom talk with so-and-so about me.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I hate to brag because I don't know the challenges that somebody else may be going through. Right. Now I don't want them to compare their kid to my kid. It's just a whole comparison thing.
Why do you look at it as bragging?
It is bragging in a way. I think so, because it's like, look at me, how good of a job I've done. But it could be that I'm also trying to be careful and staying humble.
Right.
So it's just that fine line.
Because I look at it like, if somebody was saying how bad of a job, like, I don't want to hear that.
Why not?
Like,
if you are doing a bad job, shouldn't you hear it?
But do you automatically think that you're doing a bad job? What parent says, man, you know what? I'm doing a bad job at this.
A mom.
I just can't get it.
No, a mom, because there's such a thing as mom guilt, which I've learned men do not experience such guilt.
At all. I've never experienced
how?
It.
I
never
don't
experienced it. I've made some mistakes, and I will admit to that. But there's never a day in time where I say, you know what, man, I'm just a bad parent. I just ain't doing it right. I'm messing up.
You know, women go through that, though, constantly.
So I'm glad.
Ask any mom, tell me about mom guilt. It's going to come up. Every mom experiences.
I'm calling
that.
My mom today.
Tell me about mom guilt.
Mom, are you feeling guilt? Because I need to know.
You have to be specific. Did you ever feel mom guilt?
Mom guilt. Yeah, I'm definitely calling my mom when the show is over. I'm definitely calling.
I need to follow up on. We're going to need to follow up on this.
Because
I'm curious.
So in experiencing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess having that thought about, hey, man, I'm, you know, bad parenting, right? Why wouldn't you want to brag to get yourself out of that space? Because to me, that's almost like a dark space to be in.
It can be.
That's kind of almost depressing.
It can be. You just have to, like, really focus on what did I do good today and having those conversations.
Okay.
So I myself am solo parenting with no co-parent. So I have to communicate a lot with these kids. Like, this is where, they know I'm here doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So they know what that looks like. But they also know that, okay, mom is intentional about the three of us doing something, the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Mom's intentional. Like, I need alone time with my daughter. I need alone time with my son. So even though there are days where I'm like, I'm doing what I need to do in ministry, work, career, whatever it is, right. They know mom can't do everything, but at least she's intentional with checking in,
right,
and spending that time.
Right.
So yes, I have moments where I'm like, okay, I need to get better. I need to fix this. Right. And on the other hand, I'm like, okay, I think I'm doing this right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What's something that your kids think about you? Because the reason I'm asking this, right, is just kind of based on what you just said. Mm-hmm. My kids think I'm rich. They just think that dad has all the money in the world, and I'm not the person to tell them otherwise. So what's something that your kids think about you that you like, you know what? I'm going to just go with that because hey, look, I don't want to steer you wrong.
Well, that it's not even what they think about me, is what their friends think about me. Because I'm a person, I need a lot of context clues to everything. You're going to get to learn this about me. Okay. Where, and I don't know if it's just the way my brain is wired or if it's based on my current occupation, where if you're telling me, hey, I went to the park today, I'm like, what was the weather like? What kind of park? What kind of trees were there? I need all the details.
Paint me a picture.
I'm a visual person too. I see things in pictures. So as you're telling me a story, I'm already picturing it. So when my kids tell me a story about their friends, okay, well, like, what do they look like? What is their family dynamic like? What do they sound like? What, I already have this kind of like a family tree. Mm-hmm. And so when they're telling me, yo, so-and-so, this happened, I already got the scoop on everybody. Mm-hmm. And then they do keep me current in the Gen Z lingo. Get you a set of teenagers. They'll do that. Continually do that. So when their friends come around, and I'm talking to their friends at their level and their language, they're like, yo, Miss Noed, what? So now I become the mom, and I never expected that the kids are like, I could talk to you, and can you pick me up? Can I hang out with y'all? I became that mom. But my kids, especially my oldest, is like, whatever, I guess we have a teenager in the house too, in a good way.
I think that's very important, right? Especially now in the day and age that we're in, being more, you know, adept to, hey, I want to know your friends. I want to know who's who you're hanging out with, because we hear a lot of stories about, you know, how kids get wrapped up in situations and, you know, their friends aren't raised in a certain manner, but hey, look, you know, that me and that guy, we're cool, so we hang out and, you know, things can happen. So again, I want to know who your friends are, who you're hanging around, where you're at. Like, paint me that picture so I kind of know. And that really opens the door for us to communicate a little bit better. And then, like you said, you know, having a place to where they can go, like, oh man, where the friends come over, they're like, oh, hey, Ms. Noed, how can I hang out with y'all? You know, I can remember that in high school myself. One of my high school friends, we used to all go over his house. It'd be like six of us over there. Right. And his mom, never mind, you know, she would feed us. She would, like, we just always hung out at her house because, hey, this was like the spot for us. We weren't outside doing anything crazy. Yeah, we were just hanging out at the house. It was a safe place. And I don't think there's enough of those today to where, hey, you know, hey, look, man, just tell your friends, y'all come over here, y'all play the game, you know, feed y'all, you know, whatever the case may be. So you don't have to be out there.
Why do you think that is? Like, why do you think that that's not a thing, the norm now?
I mean, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. You know, I don't think that, you know, the parents are opening the door for that, you know, in certain situations. Because you don't know these kids that your kids are hanging out with.
That part.
So you're not really, you know, welcoming to it. Well, hey, look, they can come over here and hang out. Y'all don't have to be out there trying to find something to do or find somewhere to go. Y'all can hang out here. And I think that's something that has changed from generation to generation. Because as we talk about that, that was our generation to where we had that. You saw that way more than you do now.
Really?
So, you know, I don't even know.
I don't know. But at the same time, I've had this experience where I'm like, how? Where kids just get dropped off in my house. Never met the parents. Kid, where do you live? If something happens to you, who is your mother? They just.
How do I get in touch with your parents? Like, where do you live?
They just drop them off. And it's like, that's weird. Yeah. So on the other hand, it's like, I guess we're kind of loose with our parenting now. I can't do that.
For some parents, it's almost like, Noed, I appreciate you taking this off my hands for a little while because I just needed a break. And, you know, and that's cool, right? Because, yeah, you know, with my boys, I've had that space as well to where, hey, look, y'all can come, you know, your friends can come over here. Mm-hmm. Y'all can just hang out or whatever. And, you know, you kind of immerse yourself in that. I'm going to play a game with y'all too. And, you know, just kind of hang out with them a little bit. But I don't think there is enough of that now. And
I don't think so.
Maybe that will kind of cut down on a lot of the teenage trouble that we see kind of going on.
There's a lot going on with that.
Very, very, very much.
But let me tell you this. I want your thoughts on it. What happens when you then build a bond with your kids' friends? Like, they've come over, they slept over, they've called you, you know, like they say, I'm your kid. Like, you just bonded and all of a sudden there's a fallout between you and this kid. Oof.
When you say fallout, though, explain that a little bit more in detail.
I'm going through that right now. And my kid gets it. It's more like, hey, we are no longer vibing the same way. Like, they just have a difference.
The kid and the two kids or?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm just, by the way, I have full permission to disclose all the things. My kids, because we had to, they knew there's going to be anecdotes.
Yeah. So we're talking here.
Let's, yeah. Look. So my daughter and Miss Margaret, besties as can be. I mean, I'm talking about sleepover. She came to the church. Margaret would spend time in our house. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is my child. This is where we're at now. And then out of nowhere, they're just kind of riding in different circles. My kid is very artsy. She's just an artsy kid. And then Margaret started like a military program. So now their circles are very different. Mm-hmm. And they're no longer, and I know social media plays a big part, like, well, she left me on red and I got left on red.
You got that lingo down.
Yes. Yeah, so, and then they start with the, we're going to block each other. It wasn't a particular argument. It's just kind of like, we're no longer as cool as we used to be. And then I'm like, by the way, where's Margaret? I got Margaret's number, but I'm like, I'm checking in.
Right.
What's going on? Mm. Well, call some Margaret. During the holiday season. And Margaret is following my social media pages and Margaret DMs. And I'm like, my kid knows. And she's like, but we're no longer friends. And I'm like, we're so cool. I just don't know how to feel about that.
Well, I got one even better. So my son was dating a young lady at one point. Mm-hmm. And, she would come around, got familiar with her, you know, and thought everything was good.
Yeah.
Till I asked one day, I was like, hey, you know, where's so-and-so?
Yeah.
Oh, dad, man, we ain't together no more. I'm like, I mean, what happened? What's going on? Come to find out, whatever happened, difference of opinion, you know, they went their ways. Mm-hmm. I run into her in the grocery store with her mom. Oof. I'm like, hey, you?
Was that awkward?
Very.
Why was it awkward?
Well, because, like you said, you've seen this person, you've established some type of rapport with them.
True.
You know, and you get to know them a little bit. And then the next day, it's like,
I mean, when I saw Margaret, it wasn't awkward.
Why not?
What do you mean? That was my other child.
So here's the thing. Do you continue talking to them?
No, like I don't call her or anything. But if I see her, I'm not gonna be like, well, just because y'all had a problem, I'm still gonna say hi.
Yeah, I'm still
gonna hug and how are you? How's school? First off, she's a kid,
right?
And I think it will be so petty, and I'm Christian like too, to be like, nah, you and my daughter aren't cool, so we're not cool, unless it's something like horrific that went down.
Parenting next gen. I'm petty.
You're petty?
I'm petty. Not against kids, though. Not against kids. So.
Do you hold grudges?
I have in the past.
Okay.
You know, I'm the type to where, and don't be alarmed when I say this, right?
What?
Don't be alarmed. God forgives. I don't. I'm just saying.
Okay,
God forgives. I don't.
you're gonna have to expound on that one.
So I'm not saying it's the right way to think or the right approach, but you know, there's some times where it's beneficial for me inside to kind of hold a grudge, like, yo, because here's the thing, right? When something transpires, you're like, man, well, why did you do that to me?
You want answers.
Right. And when you can't, and maybe that person doesn't have an answer. Maybe they just did it. You know, maybe that was just.
And sometimes they'll never acknowledge what they did.
Exactly.
Ooh, that upsets me even
You see what
more.
I'm saying? So it's like, it's just
Like,
beneficial to
how are
me
you
to just
sleeping
like,
peacefully at night?
come on. Like, I'm a
Yeah.
good person. Why would you do that to me?
Yeah, but doesn't it's got to eat at you inside in a way.
It does, which is why I hold the grudge. Because that's like my. You know,
Well,
my safe, like, yeah,
it's not really safe.
I'm protecting me.
Are you though?
I would like to think so.
I mean, well, first off, what is forgive? And I know it's probably gonna like lead to what is forgiveness? Because I've heard people are like, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Some people think it means reconciliation as well.
Forgiveness for me is letting go.
What do you mean?
So, you know, when, for instance, like situation happens and you're still holding on to maybe the feeling or the emotion behind it or what happened, like completely letting go, completely just letting go. And,
Okay.
you know, being able to continue on in life or just continue on. So if somebody has wronged you, hey, I forgive you. Meaning, hey, look, I can still social, you know, socialize, which I can still talk to you. It may not be like it was before, but there is no, I don't have to build a wall and protect myself from you.
I beg you differ, but I think that's a conversation for a
That
different
difference of
episode.
opinion.
No, a different episode because for me, right, I think things can still sting and can still hurt, but I think the letting go part has to do with I want something, I want business handled. I want you to get what's coming.
Right.
I want you to pay for what you did. And I think when you let go of
That sounds like petty to me too. That just sounds
it,
like
I mean,
petty.
it is, but I think like when you get hurt or somebody does something wrong, you want, first of all, you want them to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than when they're just,
Yeah.
I did what? What are you talking about? Oh, it's like, it just
You gonna
adds.
act like you didn't do nothing? Oh, okay. That's how you. All right. Yeah.
Right. But then it's like, I think once you let go of, I want this to be rectified, I want justice to be done, even if there's hurt, in my opinion, I think that's where you have forgiveness. But I don't think forgiveness is reconciliation. I think because just because that we I forgave you doesn't mean I'm gonna hang out with you. It does not mean we're cool. It does not mean I want contact with you. It because it may not be safe. It could lead me back to pettiness. I'm just not gonna go there.
I can understand that. I, you know, again, for me, it's just moving on from this. You know, I have to be able to just forgive you completely. So for me, I have peace within myself that I can just move on. Now, like you said, hey, you know, you don't want to have any contact. I'm not gonna initiate any contact or be looking for contact, right? But if just through passing, like I'm gonna still speak. I'm not gonna be rude. I'm not gonna, you know. So again, that's just for me to be able to forgive completely, forgiveness. Have you ever forgiven?
But you're gonna have to, of course, I've forgiven. You're gonna have to expound a little bit better on that.
Your child.
Forgiving my child
Yeah.
all the time.
How does that play out though? Like, because I think, you know, as parents, That's not something that's taught. We don't teach forgiveness.
Let alone to say sorry. Oof.
My point exactly. So how do you structure that in your household? Like, how do you talk about forgiveness or teach forgiveness or even ask for forgiveness?
Well, I think in our house, we tend to forgive pretty quickly because we talk about things pretty quickly. Talking in our, and you're going to get to know this about me, talking in our household is huge. We probably over communicate, but I have reasons for that for another time. But it's like, after everybody simmered down, hey, let's talk about what happened. We have what we call safe space. Okay. Safe space is a space where, and I even hold this place for adults in my life where it's like, safe space is, just tell me how it is. Tell me your feedback. Just don't beat around the bush. I could take it. And I'm going to ask questions for clarification. But I want to hear, maybe my tone was off. Maybe I didn't see it in your perspective. But I can't say, oh, I'm mad at my kid. Like, where I'm holding grudges over an extended period of time. I've had to ask forgiveness for my kids, even on things they didn't realize that I needed forgiving, but I'm like, I need to say I'm sorry.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's very rare to see parents ask for forgiveness.
Very rare, very rare. I think I've, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I think I've done it more myself just within the last, because going back to what we were talking about earlier about your favorite, I think with my youngest, or my 14-year-old, we've been kind of having some open dialogue between us to where, you know, I'm talking about forgiveness a little bit.
Okay.
Just because of, I see a lot of myself in him. Mm-hmm. I mean,
like same personality?
I spit him out, you know, same personality, same.
That's your twin.
Absolutely.
That's your twin.
I'm talking about down to the toe.
Mannerisms and all?
Everything.
What?
When he gets in like a certain space, he kind of shuts down. I do that.
What?
Yeah. I'm talking about I just see myself in him.
Wow.
So I'm going to tell you the difficult part of that is sometimes knowing how to address certain things, because it's like I'm talking to myself.
What makes it difficult? You would think it's easier because he's your twin.
Well, the difficult part is he reacts the same way I do.
Does that upset you?
That's the difficult part, because it upsets me. I'm like, I'm talking to you and you just like.
But is that a teen behavior though? Or is that a child specific behavior?
You know, I'm going to say a child-specific behavior, because I work with a lot of teenagers, and, you know, everybody's reaction to things are different.
True.
You know, some people you're talking to, some teenagers you're talking to them, they get defensive, right? Or some teenagers, they're like, well, no, I ain't do that. That on me. And that, you know, they're, you know, they want to, you know, kind of throw it back on you or whatever. And then some will sit there and listen and take it in, and some will give feedback. So I think it's just different levels of, you know, how you approach certain things. Mm-hmm. But again, just with him, it's like, man, it's like looking in a mirror. It's like looking in a mirror, and it's like, man, and we, again, we just had a long talk a couple of days ago, because I'm picking him up from basketball practice. And I'm in the car talking to him, and, you know, as I'm talking to him, his response is like, he's talking in this low tone, which is making me upset, because I'm like, man, speak up. Like, I
talk. Give me an example. Like, what did he sound like?
So we're in the car. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to him just like this, and I'm telling him stuff while I'm driving, and his response is,
"What?"
I'm like, "Dude, I can't hear you. Like, speak up." So
and that's not how he normally talks.
No, because I've heard you talk to your friends, and I'm like, I can hear you in two rooms. So I'm like, look, talk to me like you talk to your friends. Yeah. Don't talk to just because I'm dad, you know, and you're feeling, you know, kind of, I don't know, feeling some type of way. But hey, look, talk to me so I can hear you. So originally that was making me upset. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna say upset, but it was just like
it irks you.
Yeah, it was irking me a little bit. Mm-hmm. So as we're talking, and one thing I can't stand either is if I ask you a question and you do this.
Why?
I don't know what that means. I don't know what. Don't shrug your shoulders at me. Mm. Like talk to me. Like tell me what's up. Like what's going on.
You want that verbal cue, that verbal response?
Absolutely. And I do that with the kids that I work with. Hey, when I'm talking to you, don't. I don't. Or you shake your head. Hey, look, I don't know sign language. I don't know. Like, talk to me. Open your mouth and talk. Right? Because any other time, you talk.
That's true.
So.
And just shut down a little bit. Now, what happens when, because, you know, essentially we're upset we're not getting the response we want.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when do we know to, let's back off. Maybe now is not the time.
You know, I don't like to push so much that, because the last thing that I want to do is have you put up a wall and you don't talk to me about anything.
That part.
So sometimes, you know, I kind of gauge the conversation and see, because with him, I can tell. When I'm pushing too hard, the tears start to fly. And when the tears fly, I'm like, now you're pulling at the heartstrings. You're pulling at the heartstrings now. So, you know, I'll back up and I won't totally discontinue the conversation. I just might bring it back up later or another time. Like, okay, pushing too hard. You don't know how to answer what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. And I'll just kind of back off a little bit.
Does he know the conversation is, we're going to circle back to this conversation?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like this isn't over. I'm going to let you
chill. We're delaying.
I'm going to let you chill for a minute, get yourself together, go clean your face up.
Yeah.
You know, get yourself together and then we'll come back to it later.
Now, when you push to the degree that you're pushing, do you push at that level and that depth intentionally, or it just like, oof.
I always tell my boys, if I'm asking you a question, understand I already know the answer to it.
That part.
Mm-hmm. I already know the answer. So that's why I'm asking you, just to see what you're going to tell me.
But why are we doing that? Because I feel like the motive behind a question is so important.
It is. It is.
Why not just fess up that you know what you know?
Well, because I want you to think that I still don't know.
Why?
Because if you still think that I don't know, one of two things are going to happen. If I pose a question to you, you think that I don't know.
Yeah.
You're still going to continue that lie. You're going to try to carry it on.
So you're trying to see how far into their lie.
How far are you going to go?
But what's the point?
The point is, hey, if I bring something to you, because originally, had I not had this conversation, you would have never had that conversation with me.
But why not fess up right off the bat? Tell me about X, Y, and Z.
I know for me, when I was growing up, I was going to carry it out because had I fessed up, I'm getting in trouble. Like I'm already know, I'm gonna get in trouble. So to alleviate me getting in trouble, I'm gonna continue this as far as I can tell you.
But it's gonna be worse.
It is. But you don't know, because in your mind as a teenager, man, I'm gonna just keep going and keep piling on and keep piling.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's why I tell my kids, if you fess up versus me finding out, the punishment will be less severe.
Yeah. But in a kid's mind, like, the reason that they do it in the first place is because you think they're not going to find out. Mm-hmm. That's why they did it in the first place. So it's like, okay. So when I ask the question, I already know the answer. So I want to see what you're going to say. Okay. And if you do fess up right away, then hey, we work through it, you know, and then we move on from it. But there's still some, there's still consequence.
So what happens when they don't fess up?
When they don't fess up, I get in the lawyer mode.
How so?
Listen, I watch a lot of Law and Order.
Shout out to
Law and Order.
So you're a law geek as well.
Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. So when they don't fess up, then I start to, it's almost like there's a jury. Uh-huh. And I'm asking the jury questions.
Who's the jury?
Probably the siblings.
So there's not a bench trial?
I mean, you know.
Okay. Not a bench trial. It's, you're having a whole panel.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, I mean, sometimes it's just us, right? Okay. But I'm asking those lawyer questions, those in-depth to where you got to think, that thought-provoking stuff. Like,
that's where that's from.
How does dad know that? Like, where did he get that from? Like, because what I'm doing is I'm asking questions to where it gets to a point where now you can't even answer them anymore. So now it's like, okay, man, you're just going to fess up.
So you're asking just to see how far into their lie it's going to go. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I think of? Adam in the garden. Mm. Who told you you were in this condition?
Hey,
you already knew the answer.
You already knew the answer.
Where are you, Adam?
Who told you to do that, Adam? It wasn't me.
The woman you gave me.
See? And look, you see how he said? Adam was the reason. Because Adam said, the woman you gave me. That's what the teens do. Mm-hmm. Well, Dad, you didn't. Well, because my friend has said, I always want to put it off on somebody else.
Zero accountability. That irks me so bad, by the way. The accountability piece.
Talk about it.
Sorry, son, but he's the one that I'm like, daughter will be like, okay, yeah, I messed up. I did this, you know, my bad. I just wasn't feeling it. You know, son is like, well, your daughter. First of all, he starts disassociating from his sister.
Good. So good having a sibling.
Yeah. In fact, he called as we were setting up for the pod. Can you tell your daughter, son, you know what I'm doing?
Hey.
Is that the time? Well, when you're done, can you call your daughter? But it's zero accountability. I always know, tell me the story. Tell me the full scoop as to what really went down between the two of you. And he never does. It's the zero accountability part.
Hey, look, I got a younger sister and I can promise you we have been in that same boat many times. There's a lot of things right now to this day that I have put off on my sister that was, it was me. But statute of limitations.
You think so?
Hey, listen.
It doesn't go in all perpetuity.
Listen, even when we go to my mom's house and we talk about those old things, I'm like, hey, look, statute of limitations, I can't even get in trouble for that no more.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you go over mom's house, do you take off your hat of a parent and suddenly chill back and like, I'm a kid here?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. When I go to mom's house and I got my youngest with me, I'm still very, very much in parent mode.
Mm-hmm.
When with my other boys, not so much, because they're at an age where they can kind of govern themselves.
Okay, so, more independent.
Right. And, you know, there's this, like they know how their grandmother is.
Okay.
You know, so they know what and what not to do when they are.
So she's still very sergeant-like?
Very much she has that, you know, you go out, you know. So
yeah,
they know how to govern themselves. So
okay.
With them, yeah, the parent hats off, I'm just kind of, hey, I'm her son.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I'm just her son. So.
All of a sudden, we're back being a kid.
Yeah.
Now, so I know you talked about siblings and stuff. So where are you in the
I'm the middle child. I'm the favorite.
Okay. So
I'm the favorite.
Walk me through that. How, first off, has mom confessed you're the favorite?
No.
What makes you think you're the favorite?
I've pretty much confirmed myself that I'm the favorite. And the only reason that I say that is because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like the go-to for everybody. When okay. stuff is going on with my brother, stuff going on with my mm-hmm. sister.
You're the go-to.
I'm the go-to.
But that's interesting. Why is that?
I'm going to tell you, and I think everybody has that person in their family if you mm-hmm. have other siblings. Mm-hmm. There's this running joke that every time my sister, like we're all at my mom's house, mm-hmm. and I start to talking, she'd be like, all right, here go Gandhi. Here go Gandhi. Because I'm like, exactly. So, you know, like I said, everybody okay. kind of comes to me for, you know, whether it's advice or yeah. just... You know, just talking about stuff.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I present thought provoking questions to them too. You know? So yeah,
so family gets it too. Okay.
Everybody gets it. If you're around me long enough, I'm gonna stretch you. I'm gonna make you think.
All right. So this is where the pod ends. I'm just kidding. I forgot. I'm not calling it a pod.
Oh man, but no. It's like I said that. They call me Gandhi, and I'm mm-hmm. the middle child. And I asked my mom this one time. I said, out of all three of us, like, what is it about? Like, how do you look at me as opposed to them?
Oof.
And her answer was, out of all three of you, you're the one I least have to worry about.
Okay, we're gonna circle back to this because yeah. I got something similar from my mama.
Yeah.
And I was kind of low-key bothered by it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was actually, you know, excited. You yeah, yeah, I felt proud, you know, because I started to kind of look back in how she would parent us and mm-hmm. kind of growing up and mm-hmm. how I was the one that wanted to kind of separate myself
okay
from everybody. Like my brother was already, you know, he was off to college and he did his thing mm-hmm. and he was traveling and doing other stuff, so it was mainly just kind of me, my mom, and my sister.
Okay.
But I was always trying to kind of pull away
from the whole pack. Okay. Why is that?
Just wanting my own independence.
So you're a middle child, but you're giving like yeah. older sibling vibes.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted my own independence. Okay. And which, you know, man, I started my own business at 12.
Jeez.
in high school, mm-hmm. I had a early release job, so I was going to work in high school. As soon as I turned 18, graduated, mm-hmm. I was out the house. So I always wanted that independence for myself. And you know, when she said, hey, you're the one that I at least have to worry about, it made me feel pretty good because it's like, okay,
everything
that
I
was doing was in the right, it was in a positive light. So,
Well, and she doesn't have to worry about you as much because she said the least I have to worry
about. Yeah. So there's still had to worry. Still had to worry.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, are you just naturally like that, just very go, go, go? Or do you think certain life experiences led you to be like that?
I think I've always been kind of go, 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 mm-hmm. you know, just throughout my life in general. Mm-hmm. And it's made me, you know, very responsible, but also very independent.
Okay. You know,
I've learned a lot from my mother, which in turn helps to how I parent, mm-hmm. you know, and I try to give my boys, you know, the space to kind of figure it out on their own a little bit rather than just have my hands on them so much to
that
where,
part,
you know, cause I don't want them to feel like, oh, well, dad's just going to do it. Oh, well, dad's just going to figure it out.
Well, and not just that, I think it gives room to them be themselves.
Right.
Be themselves. I actually have been sitting with that this week. Because, you know, growing up, I grew up being a church kid. And I'm talking about my parents always being in leadership. Eventually, they became pastors and always became this, you know, if, depending on how you act, this is how we're going to be viewed.
Right.
Your kid's acting out. Ooh, now you can't pastor. And every PK out here knows exactly what I'm talking about. So then you end up growing up like, I have to look a certain way. I have to carry myself a certain way.
Right.
And I didn't realize that now I'm walking around church. Essentially, I'm code switching.
Mm.
Like, this is what leaders be, you know, look like, and this is how they behave. And it's like, you can't be your witty, funny, you know, quirky self. Can't show that side.
Right.
Because now we're, now we you feel like you have to code switch based on what the parents.
Essentially, what age is this though?
Oh, it started young. Mind you, I've always known that, you know, God's hand has been upon my life. I've always known I'm going to be teaching his word. First sermon at 10 years old. I can still tell you what I taught.
Wow.
Kids service. Yes. Wow. And the parents saw something like, I think of, again, Mary with Jesus. It says she held things in her heart every time she saw him doing things.
Right.
Like when she caught him in the temple, you know, asking questions. And I was that kid.
Right.
I was that kid who, oh, we can't pray in school. Not a problem. We're going to meet at the flagpole before school. We're going to pray. And I'm going to juvenile detentions at 14 with my dad. Like,
wow.
I've been that kid in ministry. But then somewhere along the lines, it's like, well, this is how leaders have to behave. Mm-hmm. And then the gender bias came into play, even with this parenting stuff.
Right.
Like, I remember the first time I took, somebody found out, oh, you know, you're about to teach this. I got a call from this person.
Mm.
Like, I don't know that you're the right one because you're a woman and you're a single parent. I think somebody who's a man and who's married will probably be a better fit.
Mm.
And now I'm here like that gender bias on top of it all. It's like, no, I got to carry myself a certain way. And it's not that it's inauthentic. I just suppress certain parts of me.
Right.
But I think parenting has a lot to do with that. I'm not saying mom and dad did anything wrong with that. They really did the best thing they could. The ministry is a challenge as well.
Very.
And I get it. They were under a lot of pressure too. Because, you know, pastors are under a lot of scrutiny. And they just kind of suffer in silence of things that they do suffer. But it's like, yo, I now learn how to code switch in the realm of ministry. And it just stuck with me. So that's what with my kids, I'm like, you do have to read La Cartilla, but it's like, how do we ensure we don't suppress who they really are?
I mean, that's a good question because just like you were saying, your parents were heavy in the ministry and then you kind of followed that path yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that your kids will follow your path into that?
When I tell you, I've been sitting with a lot of this week. So we saw each other a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I left and I went home and I was trembling and I couldn't understand why I was emotional. I'm like, what's up with that? So I'm sitting with it, just restless. And then I'm talking to my sister, you know, just like, how are the kids? And, da, 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 da. And I'm telling her how I'm feeling. She's like, well, that's easy. I'm like, what do you mean that's easy? She's like, mom and dad have been telling you, you're meant to pastor and you're meant to be in ministry since you were a little kid. And what have I always said? Absolutely not. That's not my life.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are starting a ministry. I think I even told you, I said, this is giving church plant.
Yeah.
And I think the whole feed my sheep. I'm like, man, y'all were right. I'm annoyed in a good way, but it's, I guess it carries on. And then now with my son, I've been approached by senior leadership. And we're going to train him because we've identified that calling over his life and he's going to start teaching. And I'm like, is this a generational thing? Because the parents are pastors. My great grandfathers are pastors. I mean, it's like.
But is that what your son wants, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know the term pastor, but he definitely has that shepherd's heart. And it's like he's tender for the people.
Mm.
He has a heart for the people. Like he's running Bible studies over the phone.
Right.
And just, you know, he's still a kid, but.
Because the reason I ask that is You know, I think sometimes parents get caught up in the life that they want for their children.
Yes.
Like, especially like, you know, you have like athlete parents, like, oh man, I was playing, you know, high school ball and I was so close to making it. And now my son is, I'm living through them, you know, and, and you're pushing them into something that maybe they don't really want to do. They're just doing it to appease you because they don't want to disappoint you.
Well, that's not the case here because, again, I think a lot of my parenting, and y'all are going to get to learn this about me, is not that I didn't have the example, but a lot of things I'm like, I'm not going to do that with my kids because I know what it did to me.
Right.
Like, it made me the person I am today, but I'm like, what do you like to do? I'm observing, like, what are your strengths? Are you sure about that? Like, what do you... try this. Like this year, he's like, I'm gonna try the debate team. I'm like, okay, what about it? And it's led to other things where he's like, I think I'm gonna be a criminal defense attorney.
Nice.
Now, that's something that I had considered for myself at one point, but I never put that on them. Like, you can be whatever you want to be. Just make sure you ask God about it. Like, Absolutely. don't try to go outside of his will. But I make sure I'm very zealous about people not putting that pressure on them.
Right.
I've had people, even at church, refer to them as, oh, you're a church kid and you're so-and-so's son or daughter. That irks my daughter, by the way.
Right.
She's like, oh, you're Noed's daughter. My name's Natalie.
Please address me accordingly.
Yeah. Cause that's not her identity. She's not, me being her mom is not her identity.
Yeah.
So, but it's led to a lot of interesting conversations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this has been an interesting conversation, you know. And again, hopefully you guys got something from this. Hopefully it's made some sense. Hopefully you kind of saw yourself in some of the things that we talked about here as far as how you approach parenting. Again, this is the Parenting Next Gen show. And, you know, we're here to help parents become better parents. Right. I'm learning. Noed's still learning. Right. So we don't have it all figured out. Right. But we wanted to provide this space just so we can all figure it out together.
That's true. And listen, my hope for this is that it can lead to better conversations and an analysis as to how am I parenting? What is the internal work that I'm doing? And I hope that we get to hear the testimonials.
Absolutely.
Like something you said led to this. I'm connecting with my kid, or I got this act together in my life, or hey, I dare to ask my parents questions. And
yes,
like I'm about to ask mine who's I already know the answer. Let's see if they'll lie to me.
Out to the middle child. Shout out to the middle kids out there. Yeah,
going through it.
Yeah,
going through it.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a great time with you, Noed. I definitely appreciate it. You want to close us out in prayer?
Sure.
Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and this platform to be able to minister to people and have candid conversations that sometimes, Lord, amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're just not having. But thank you, Lord, for making this happen. And I pray for every family that is watching, every family that is listening, Lord, that you can just stir up something in their spirits, that they may seek wisdom in your presence for the children that you have entrusted in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you for joining us. Until next time, Parenting Next Gen Show. See you guys later.
See you.